People who succeed always look forward. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, letting out a deep sigh when I hear this statement. People who succeed always look forward. Perhaps. Who is it who rides in the in the last car of the train, and he has to always be looking back, and he has to tell the engineer up front if some other train is on the same track gaining on him? Who is it who is the rear gunner? Does the rear gunner look forward? If he does, he gets in trouble. His job is to look back to see if anyone's on his tail. And what does the farmer do? A farmer's plowing a field. He looks forward, he sees the point, looks back, sees the point, then he goes straight for the point forward. And as he goes straight for the point forward, he has great things happening. The great things that are happening is that he looks back and he looks forward and he sees the perfect operation that he's doing. Now, why does he see the perfect operation that he's doing? Because he both looks back and he looks forward. Thank you. And as he looks back and forward, wonderful things happen in his life. The statement here is, people who succeed always look forward. Do you succeed? Do you always look forward? Do you always look forward and do you succeed? Do you succeed and always look forward? It's not a given that just because you look forward, you're going to succeed. A lot of people think that if I go and knock on the right door, I'll succeed. Well, it's not the right door. You got to knock on lots of doors. Otherwise, you'll never know which one wants to buy from you. Now, this is the teaching that we've had all of our life. This is the success stories that we've heard all of our life. We've read the stories of men and women who have overcome great obstacles to accomplish great, wonderful things in their life. And they did that by following the standard pattern of human beings. We here at the University of Healing, we teach a little different program. We say, do you want to be successful in life? See yourself successful. Surround yourself with successful people. Surround yourself with successful ideas. If you're interested in flying, then surround yourself with people who like to fly and have that as your criteria. If you want to be with people who love to drive fast cars, then surround yourself with it. Now, Mark's mother-in-law and father-in-law came here from Florida, and they thought it'd be fun to help Mark in his business and retire and just, you know, relax and have a good time. Well, they didn't put in for California's extremely warm weather. And although it was an unusually warm year, we may have more unusually warm years. It all depends on how one's attitude is. Well, they decided that after being here for about 8 months or so, or a year, whatever it's been, they're going to move back to Florida. No. So this week, they sold their house, and Wednesday, Leslie is flying back to Florida to help her parents find a home there. And Leslie's brother John, who has been here in California and done extremely well, having nice relationships with all the people he's working with, he's going to go back to Florida too. And so now the older brother, or a brother, whatever age it is, he is back in that area in the south there somewhere, and he's there. Now, what's going to happen to Leslie? Is Leslie going to go where the wild wind goes? She's going to help them, but I kind of think that it might make for a very positive relationship for Mark and for everything else. Because when we are drawn between many choices, we find that it's difficult to know what to do. Now, surround yourself with people who are successful, and you'll be successful. Surround yourself with people who are pilots, and you'll love to be a pilot. Surround yourself with people who create candles and you will be a most marvelous candle maker. Not because the people teach you anything, but because the people inspire you to go on with what you're doing and what you do very well. Now, what do you surround yourself with, Sylvia? Do you surround yourself with beautiful people, the beautiful surroundings, a beautiful company, a beautiful organization, and you feel every moment is like a big kudu for having done something wonderful and having lived in a very wonderful world? If that's the case, that's good. However, if in all of that doing, we need to have somebody else say that we're doing a good job, then if we don't get that, we're doing a good job, not because we aren't doing a good job, but because some people just don't say that, then we will feel like we are sort of left out in the cold. People who succeed always look forward. You could say forward, since that's the only way you look. Heinz, what is behind your head? You see, Heinz has to turn his head and look forward to see what's behind his head, which therefore is no longer behind his head. It is now in front of his head. And so what he sees is what's in front of his head. Heinz will never see what's behind his head, even if he uses a mirror, because he's looking forward to look backward. And he's seeing what's behind him with a mirror. But what he sees what's behind him with a mirror is what, Heinz?
A reflection.
It's reversed. He doesn't see it straight away. He sees the reverse of it. You look through your rearview mirror at the license plate of the car that's following you, and you'll find that you have to read it in reverse because the license plate is reversed. No matter what we do, we're always, so to speak, looking forward. We're always thinking forward. We're always acting forward. We're always living forward. So if we want to succeed in life, we should make whatever we want to do the most important thing in the world. Now, we here at the university teach first thought, first idea, first direction. Now, where's your first idea, your first thought, your first direction? Ingeborg, is your first thought to understand, or is your first thought to make clear?
My first thought is to make clear.
I know. Your first thought is to make clear. Now, to make clear what and to whom?
To myself.
To make clear to yourself and what? Whatever it is you're working on.
Yes.
Okay, now, if you ask an antagonizing question, do you think you're going to get a clear answer? No. If you ask a question which is belittling of somebody else and belittling of their talent, their knowledge, their whatever, you won't get a square answer. People say, huh, that's your attitude? Sure. Yeah. I do this naughty thing and I do that naughty thing all the time. And then if you believe it, you're silly, because you have antagonized the people to say things that are not really what they want to say. Now, what do you want from the world?
The world depends what I see in the world, what I am.
What you want from the world is what you see in the world. Now, what do you see in the world? Do you see the world as a harmonious place, as a joyful place? Are you looking at the world as a successful place?
Yes, I do, because otherwise I would not be joyful and successful in what I'm doing now.
That's great. Now, can you maintain that all the time?
Well, I can think of, pay attention to other subjects.
Well, your answer should be yes.
Yes.
You can maintain that all the time. What does it take to maintain that all the time?
To be one-pointed.
To be one-pointed. Now, to be one-pointed, doing what?
Keeping up the thought which I, at that moment, was...
Believing in yourself.
Yes.
Believing in yourself and believing in what you're thinking about.
Yeah.
Okay, now, you want to be successful, let's just say, at your computer with the email. What does it take to be successful at your email on your computer?
It takes only a little bit of patience and to call up the various features which are there, and check all the titles which come up one by one.
Mm-hmm. That's a commendable way. Now, one of the strangest ways that I have ever seen anyone work on a computer, and there are very few of them. If you're one, you're amazing. One of the strangest ways I've ever seen someone working on the computer is to use a manual. How many people do you know who read the manual when they buy a computer? They just instantly dive in and do what they know, and then they add to it whatever they can. Now, we have a Macintosh computer, and I showed Heinz the Macintosh book, and I gave it to him to use, but Heinz didn't take it with him because Heinz didn't want to spend his life reading that tremendous volume, which, of course, you don't have to do. You only read about the areas that you want to read about. But he didn't choose to do it. Now, why didn't he choose to do it? Now, come on. Some of you certainly have the answer from this morning's lessons. He didn't choose to do it because he chose to listen within. When he needed to know something in a particular way, he listened within. Now, is he going to get the correct answer as it is in the book?
Of course.
No.
Not as in the book.
That's what I said. Yeah. Now, is he going to get the correct answer as it is in the book? No. He's going to get the correct answer as it is from his consciousness, which may transcend what the book teaches by a million leagues. Mm-hmm. And this is an art. This is an art. And we know a very extremely genius person who drives us right up the wall every other day. And we ask him, where did you find out about that? Well, I just knew. And we say, how did you find out about this here and that there? I just knew. I said, what magazines do you read? None. What books do you read? None. Who is it? Now, go ahead.
The divine within me.
Who is it? Who am I talking about?
Myself.
I'm talking about Daniel. Daniel.
Oh, yeah.
Every time you talk to Daniel, you say, where did you learn that? How did you find that out? And I said, did you read a book? Is there a book on that or something? No, no. He said, I just go there, and I hover over the keys for a moment, and I zero in on it, and then, boom, I'm right in on where I want to be. You know?
But you can see him becoming still.
Yeah.
You can watch that.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have the slightest idea what's going to come up. Mm-hmm. He's just open to it.
Yes.
And the reason he is so excellent is because he doesn't have the slightest idea what's going to come up. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have pre-knowledge of what's going to happen. Therefore, his highest and best and the genius within him can be revealed. Mm-hmm. Now, if all of us could study under Daniel and learn this wonderful technique that he's using by learn, reveal that we have that within ourselves too, we'd be very blessed. He drives you mad. Mm-hmm. He makes you irritated totally because he doesn't have the answer. But then as you're working with him, the answer is click, 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 and click, 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 coming in from this side, from that side. And I say to him, now, what do you think about, like I said, the slipping the information from the flash card onto the hard disk? Can't we do that in some way without having to play it on it? And he says, oh, definitely there's a way. He says, I don't know it yet, but there's a way. He does admit not knowing it. And so then he called the company. He called Olympus, and he called the various other companies who have the encoding systems. And they say, well, not yet. We're working on that. That'll come up soon. And I read Heinz a little item of where they are very seriously working on that right now. And so they may come up with it very soon. Where you just go, shove it over. You just take the little program, or what do you call it, the folder, and push it right over into whatever is the next place you want it to be without having to play it, because it's all done. Mm. It's all done. And it's already coded. It's already said with MP3 or whether it's WMA or whatever it is, and you just push it on over. So this sort of a thing is an amazing thing. It's what we teach here. People succeed who always look forward. Daniel succeeds because he doesn't look back into how it might have been done or how it could be done or how it is done. He just looks forward in his consciousness And he's not even looking forward in his consciousness, is he? What would you say he's doing, Heinz?
He's looking within.
He's looking within. Is there a forward and a backward within?
No.
Not hardly. So he's looking within, and what's he finding? He's finding the solution to whatever it is he has in his heart. Now, that's dumb. That's stupid. That's irrational. That's not playing the game fair. That's not following any program. But it works. And this is what we teach you. If you have a problem in finances, if you have a problem in relationships, if you have a problem in health or anything like that, or you have a problem in accomplishing your goal on your computers or whatever you're doing, you just stop a moment. But you have to stop a moment with that great wisdom that Daniel shows and not presuming the answer. You cannot say, I don't know. The minute you say, I don't know, that closes the door. And you will not get the answer. Even the answer is right there on the other side of that door, so to speak. You will not get it because you said you don't know it. And the door will not open for someone who says they don't know it, because you're standing with your foot in the front of the door and it won't open. Now, when you listen within, when you tune within like Daniel does, and you say, let's see. And so, you can just almost see the little wheels turning up in his head and the little gongs and the bangs going on up there. And it's sort of charming to watch him. And he doesn't, well, he may know you're watching, but I don't think he does. Because if he knows you're watching, he wouldn't be working like he does. But he just click, 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 click. In conferences that we've had with him, going over some technical things, I would ask him a silly question for me. How do you do this? And then he would go right on with the conference, talking away. And then all of a sudden, another part of his mind, which was working on what I asked him, came up with the answer. He says, oh, now here we go. And he'd stop and jump right into that. And then after he was done with that, then he'd jump back into the other thing. Now, people who are brilliant like this, they're brilliant. Either they're blessed, they're born that way, like Mozart, or they are trained. And anyone can train themselves if they wish. Now, it's true, you won't all be a Paderewski playing the piano with great verve and feeling and love and dramatics and, you know, quality, but you'll be mechanically acceptable. You'll be mechanically capable to do anything you want to do. And this is the same here. What makes the difference between a mechanically able, successful person in any field and a person who is tuned in, who is working on it out of, I don't want to say the words because that's the answer. The difference is, when you love what you do, your love makes the difference between a mechanical thing and a spiritual thing, if you will. It illumines, your love illumines whatever you're doing to make it a real joy. And I think this is something that each of us could train ourselves to be. We could train ourselves to be loving of whatever it is we're doing. If we do anything mechanically, if we do anything because we have to or we're supposed to or this and that, forget it. You better you stay away, because that vibration comes through. That vibration comes through very well. I walked over in the Citadel, and as I walked around the Citadel, I thought to myself, this is not a clean place. It's a dirty place. It needs to be aired out, needs a few candles burning in there. It's not because anyone did anything wrong. You know, that's not the point. But there's an attitude. There's an attitude in there of possession, an attitude of manipulation, an attitude of pretty heavy-duty stuff. And who's going to clean it out? Good question. But it has that attitude. And we have to be very careful because, you know, very subtly, our attitude can manipulate and maneuver and work in where we don't want it to be. You understand what I'm saying, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
So you be very careful. If you are pissed off, if you're unhappy with something, don't. Don't do that, because it's going to show. Everybody's going to know that you are unhappy with something. If you are irritated with what rules you have to follow or what program lies before you. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. And you don't want to do that. Because to do that, you're defeating yourself. To do that, you're destroying yourself. Now, you're destroying yourself because you are like an animal who has little animals, and the little animals reflect what the parent animals think. And you say, well, what's that got to do with anything? When the parent animals live together in love, when they live together in harmony, seeking to accomplish the good of the family and the clan or whatever, you can tell. And when the little animals are there merely trying to destroy everything, and there are some animals who like to do that, then you can tell that too. And when you start looking at some of these Disney shows, and you see the animals playing quasi-human role, and you see the animals that are loving a happy family, it doesn't mean that they don't have problems. It doesn't mean that they don't have great things to overcome and really tremendous things chasing them, you know. But they do so playfully. They say, if I'm to die, so I'm to die. But I'm going to playfully do this. Ha ha, tick! And they're hiding behind a bush. They're hiding behind this. And the creature that is chasing them and being evil in their life is made to look like the fool. Because he is just challenging in without thought, trying to capture that morsel of food. And the little animals who love themselves and enjoy their life, they just playfully back and forth. A woman was chased by a mountain lion up here in Pasadena area, somewhere up there. She was running a mountain trail, and this mountain lion brought her down and killed her. Now, why did the mountain lion do that? Was the mountain lion, no. Was the mountain lion angry? No. Was the mountain lion thinking that she wanted to play because she was running? Quite likely. Now, what if that woman had had the wisdom to stop and look at the mountain lion and say, hey, you're beautiful. My goodness, you're beautiful. And get down on her fore knee, you know, and say, wow, I have never seen a mountain lion so beautiful like you. And have no fear in her. It's self-generated, you know. Mm-hmm. What would happen? The mountain lion would look and say, you're no fun. You know, you don't want to play. You don't want to let me chase you. You know how it is when a puppy dog plays with a little tiny kitten sometimes. He plays a little rough. We say he plays a little rough, you know, and poof, bats the little kitten around. And it's too rough for the kitten because the kitten wants to be more gentle. And then the mother cat comes along and swishes at the dog and says, cool it, cool it. That's my kid you're fooling around with there, you know. And so then the dog cools it and continues to play with the kitten, but in a loving way. And the two become very dear friends. But sometimes the bigger people, the bigger dogs, the bigger animals, they don't know their own strength. And the mountain lion quite likely wanted to be a friend and wanted to play because it looked like the lady was having so much fun. Running up a hill, huffing and puffing, just doing whatever she did. But the lady had never experienced anything wild in her life. And she had never experienced the idea, agree with your adversary quickly. Well, let the mountain lion eat you if he's going to eat you. You can't outrun him. You can't outdo him. So just get down and say, hi, pussycat. And you have defanged. You have taken away all of the negativeness of the mountain lion. You follow me? How can you be a success? They say keep your head pointed forward, always looking forward. You never look away from a mountain lion. You never look away from something that is your adversary. You just look it straight in the face and say, you know, you're pretty nice. You think you want to scare me? You've got to be meaner than that to scare me. You got to have a better costume than that to stare me, because I love you, you know. And then the mountain, I thought we were going to have a fight. playful fight, because they don't consider that a fight. You and I consider it a fight. We name these things, like we were looking at the hummingbirds here, and we were saying at other places where they've been, the hummingbirds would have a fight as to who was king of the Sweetwater. And one guy or so family would take over, and the rest of them be chased away. And we say here that everyone is welcome. In fact, we should put a sign up there. All are welcome. You know, come as you are. All are welcome. Free food, free drinks, free conversation, free partying. Every day, all day long, through the night. Now, what would happen? What would happen? Everything would be harmonious. Everything would be beautiful. And so it would be. So let's begin to look at our life from this point of view. And let's remember that we can be a success in anything we do if we're willing to give up the preconceived ideas and be a Daniel. Be a mountain lion that wants to play. Be ourself and just have fun. And as we do that, my goodness sakes, life is really a wonderful adventure. And we are the adventurers in that life. Well, I like you guys. I like me. I like the world. I'm a very happy, happy guy. So have a wonderful day and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.